We're holding Tehillim, Perek Vav, the sixth chapter. In this chapter, we're going to read about how David HaMelech prays about sickness and his enemies. And it's unclear what's he speaking about. Is he speaking about sickness that he had after he sinned with Bathsheba? And then his enemies started speaking badly about him and hoping that this was his downfall. And he was so affected by his enemies that he felt worse about the enemies than he did from his sickness. Or is this speaking about some other sickness he had? Or is this speaking in general about the Jews being in exile, which is similar to the Jews being sick? Lamnatzeach bin ginot ala sheminit. This is a praise to be sung on the harp that has eight strings. Mizmor le David, a praise that was compiled by King David. Hashem, al be'apecha tochicheini, Hashem, don't rebuke me out of your anger. Va'al b'chamatecha tiyasereini, and don't afflict me from your inner anger. Chema is anger that burns within, and af is external anger. So he's begging God not to rebuke him externally from the external anger, nor to pain him, afflict him from the internal anger. Now, if this is referring to after King David sinned with Bathsheba, so that's understandable. Choneini. Notice that the nun has a dot in it, so that would be as though it would say chonineini. That dot makes it as though there were an extra nun. In some places in Tehillim it actually says chonineini, three nuns in a row. Chonineini Hashem ki umlal ani. Hashem, please have pity over me, for I'm devastated, I'm weakened. Refaini Hashem. Hashem, please heal me. Ki nivalu atzamai. Because my bones have gotten scared. I'm scared to the bone. V'nafshi nivala me'od, and my nefesh has gotten very, very scared. V'ata Hashem ad matai, and you, God, till when will you allow me to be in the state of affliction, in the state that I need to be healed, and you do not heal me? Shuva Hashem, return Hashem from your state of anger. Chaletza nafshi, let my nefesh escape from its sickness. Hoshieini leman chastecha, save me, rescue me because of your kindness, because of your goodness. Ki ein b'mavet zichrecha, because when a person dies, so there's no remembrance. So the guy died. What remembrance is there of God when a person dies? Bishol, if a person goes down to the burial, mi yodelach, who could thank you? If you save me, then that'll be an honor for you, Hashem. I'll praise you. I'll notify everyone how you healed me. But if I die, what good am I to you, God, if I die? Yagati ve'anchati, I've been worn down because of my size. And by the way, our sages say that when a person sighs, half his body breaks down. Meaning the sighing itself causes a person to break. So a person shouldn't sigh. Say, just say that the sighing itself causes the body to break.
Rabbi Nachman talks about sighing as great healing properties of sighing.
Oh yeah? Yeah, Rav Feinstein also used to say that sometimes a person has to say Rabbein Shalom, it's so hard. Also, to express the internal pain. Yagati v'anchati, I've been worn down, and I'm sighing all the time. Asche v'cholayla mitati, I make my bed flow in tears, meaning he's saying my bed ends like flowing down a river because I tear so much, so I cause my bed to flow. Bidimati, with my tear, I'll see my bed. amseh, I cause it to become like dirty. I dirty my bed with my tears. This is like repeating it in a poetic fashion in a different form. Ashesha mika'as eini. My eye has become thick, like thick glass, because of everything that I've been angered, I've been pained. Ateka, it became old. It no longer has the same light, my eye, says King David. Bechol tzorerai, with all those who harm me. So this can be understood all either that he was afflicted from many different angles, or like we explained in the beginning, that he is complaining both over his disease and over the enemies who want to harm him. Suru mimeni kol poalei aven. Turn away from me all those who do bad, all those who do lies. Kishama Hashem kol bichi. For Hashem has heard the voice of my crying. Shama Hashem techinati. Hashem has heard, has accepted my plea. Hashem tefilati kach. Hashem will accept my prayer. Yevoshu, they will be shamed. Vibahalu, and they will be scared. Meod, very much. Kol oyevai, all of my enemies. Yeshuvu yevoshu raga, they will return and they will be scared again. So what does that mean? When they see that they're not working, that their things aren't working out they thought the way they thought, but rather I'm healing, I'm getting better. So then they're gonna have to come back and ask me for forgiveness and wish me well, all these enemies. And then within a second it's gonna turn over, they'll be all embarrassed. Until now they think, oh, King David's falling, he's getting sick, it's because he's a sinful person, and God's upset with him, he's no longer the chosen one. So all his enemies are talking about him. Now that's it. King David lost it. And King David's sick, he's in bed, and he sees everyone talking, and he feels badly. And he's telling Hashem, when you heal me, so then they'll be embarrassed, and then you, God, will get out of it also. I'm going to be able to praise you. Whereas if I die, what good do you have of that? Any questions? Okay. There's another understanding here. The Medrash quotes, Rabbi Yochanan says that in the future, God is going to judge the Rishayim, and they're going to have to go to Gehenna. And then they're going to complain. They're going to say, what? What do we do? And God is going to bring them back and show them the notes. He's going to show them each one what they did throughout their lifetime, that's why they're getting punished. And then they'll be rejudged, and again they'll come out at fault, and God will put them back in Gehenna. And that's why the pasuk says, Yevoshu v'yibalu, they'll be embarrassed, they'll be scared, all my enemies. Yashuvu, they'll come back, they'll be judged again. Yevoshu, and then they'll be shamed quickly again, because they'll again be found guilty. And there's another medrash, which I think has a very important message. That medrash says that in the time to come, the nations of the world are each going to pray to their gods. And they'll suddenly realize that their gods aren't answering them. And after each nation tries their god, and they see they're not getting anywhere, then they'll turn to Hashem, and they'll say, Hashem, help us out. And Hashem's going to answer them and say, if you would have called me initially, then I would have answered you. But now that you tried your gods first, and after that doesn't work, then you come to me and say, oh, Hashem, you help us out, then I'm not helping you out. And that's what this pasuk is saying. That Yeshuvu, when they try to return to Hashem, Hashem says, no. That's enough. Now it's interesting that there's a medrash that says that there was a Jewish king who was very, very sinful, and his name was Menashe. The pasuk says he filled Jerusalem with blood. There was so much murder going on in his time that Jerusalem was knee-high in blood. And in Melachim, Jeremiah attributes the destruction of the temple to Menashe's sins. He doesn't record that Menashe was anything but a sinful person. But in Divrei Hayamim, what's that called in English? Chronicles. Yeah. In Divrei Hayamim, compiled by Ezra, Ezra records that at some point during Menashe's reign, he was abducted. He was taken by foreign kings, and he did tshuva, and God returned him to his kingdom, and he did tshuva, something which isn't even recorded by Jeremiah. And our sages say that when he was abducted, they took him and put him in a huge vat, a huge copper vat with water, and they started boiling the water he was in there. So he's sitting there in a vat, and the water's starting to boil. So he knew the names of all the gods, and he started calling them. And he called one god, didn't answer. Called another god, didn't answer. Finally, after he calls all the gods, he sees it's getting hot in there, and he's going to go. So he starts thinking, and he remembers when he was a little boy, his father taught him that there is a Hashem, and he says, Hashem, if you're really there, then this one time save me. And our sages say that all the angels said, this murderer, no way, we're not letting his prayer enter. And God, so to speak, dug a hole under his throne to let Menashe's prayer come in. And God made a miracle. Menashe was whisked out of there and he returned to his throne, whatever that means. And it always bothered me, how come the nations of the world, when they call all of their gods first, God says, you called your gods first? Okay, so then if you leave me as last, I'm not answering you. And Menashe, it would seem, did the same thing. He called all the other gods first, and yet God does answer him.
By the merit of his fathers, forefathers.
So maybe it's because of the merits of his forefathers, or maybe Menashe didn't remember Hashem, which is hard to understand. I don't know. We could speculate many things. I'd like to see someone who addresses the question. I don't know. Yeah.
We hear the idea of Kisei HaKavod all the time, and that idea of Hashem digging underneath the Kisei HaKavod. I've heard in a couple places. Do you have any thoughts that will make me happy?
I want to get back to you on that. I remember seeing stuff on it, and right now I don't remember. Right now I don't remember. I think it's discussed by the Mefarshim and Rashi in the beginning of Bereshis, where the pasuk says "V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei ha'mayim." So I think Rashi over there discusses the Kisei HaKavod. I think the Mefarshim and Rashi over there discuss what is this concept of Kisei HaKavod. If I'm not mistaken, that's where it's discussed. So.